Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, March the 14th. And we wonder if you are following the race for State Supreme Court Justice and what questions you have about it. The race pits Madison attorney Linda Clifford against Washington County Judge Annette Ziegler, and it's getting perhaps more attention than these races usually get because of the balance on the court right now, the people backing the various candidates, and some news about possible conflicts of interest for one candidate in particular, and a national partisan group getting involved in fundraising for another. We will talk about all this with our guest this first half hour, and we will welcome your questions. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. After 7:30, we will welcome in candidate Linda Clifford, and she will answer your questions. Candidate Annette Ziegler declined our invitation to answer your questions during this program. Joining us now is J.R. Ross, an editor for WisPolitics.com. He moderated a debate on Friday night between the two candidates before an audience at the State Bar of Wisconsin Building, a debate sponsored in part by WisPolitics.com. Good morning, J.R.
Good morning, Joy. How are you doing?
I'm good. I know WisPolitics is also a partner in the We the People partnership, and that includes Wisconsin Public Radio, and we will be sponsoring a debate on March 30th, and I'll mention more information about that at the end of this program. Before we get to the issues in this race and what you heard on Friday night in the last forum there, just kind of set the stage for us. We have two candidates running for state Supreme Court justice, and lots of interest in this race, at least maybe more than past races. Why is this considered so important by many?
Well, right now you have a court in its current makeup that's many people consider split 3-3 with one swing vote. The liberal justices generally considered Justice Louis Butler, Ann Walsh Bradley, and Shirley Abramson. On the conservative side, you have Pat Rogensack, David Prosser, and John Wilcox, who's retiring. And then the swing vote right now is kind of considered Justice Pat Crooks, who was up for last year and was reelected without opposition. Now, depending on which interest group you talk to, they might tell you it's a 4-3 liberal court, or people have different opinions about Justice Crooks at this point in his career. But basically, he ran as a conservative and won as a conservative, but he's become more moderate and sometimes liberal on some votes in the last couple of years. So to conservatives, they need to win this race in their minds, because if they don't, they're looking at a solid four liberal justices in their minds with a fifth who will join them. That puts you at a very big disadvantage if you have an issue before the court that's important to you. To liberals, this is an important race because they can solidify their majority on the court right now, especially because the next justice up for election is Louis Butler, who will be up, I believe, next year. And a lot of conservative groups are not happy with Justice Butler and will likely try and target him. Now, it's been very difficult, to say almost impossible, to knock off a sitting justice in Wisconsin. I think the last time it happened was the 1960s, and that was in part because it was one of the justices who was involved in the decision to allow the Braves to leave Milwaukee and go to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big issue for that justice, as well as he had hit was very close to mandatory retirement age at the time, or some issue like that. So that's the last time a justice in Wisconsin lost a race. So the conservatives, this is their best shot right now. They have to win this race to keep the balance of the court as it is and still have a fighting chance.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not asking you to label these two candidates with your own personal opinions, but the groups that are backing the various candidates, is it fair to say that Annette Ziegler is backed by conservative or Republican interests for the most part, and Linda Clifford is considered the Democrat or the liberal candidate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, during, for example, Friday night's debate, they wouldn't label themselves conservative or liberal or anything like that. But in the past, they've kind of accepted these labels. I mean, Annette was appointed to the Washington County bench by Tommy Thompson in her application to the spot on the bench. She said she belonged to the Republican Party. Linda has in the past described her philosophy as liberal. I mean, but right now they don't want to do that. But there's no two ways about it. I mean, Linda is considered a liberal judge, and Annette is considered the conservative judge.
Yeah. And seems like a different issues in the paper now every day over the past few days pertaining to this race. The issue of Judge Ziegler's, alleged conflict of interest that she sat on some cases, judged some cases that involved a bank that her husband is on the board of directors, that came up?
Yeah, essentially in Wisconsin, judges have a rule that if you have a financial, if there's a financial interest you have in a case or that you would be impacted financially, there are rules calling for you to recuse yourself. Now, the actual definitions are kind of, you know, there's a little wiggle room in them, and Annette Ziegler has said that she had no problems with these cases. She was not going to benefit from these cases personally, or her family would not, so she felt there was no conflict. Others have raised questions if there was. Essentially, she's in Washington County Judge. The West Bend Savings Bank is a very large bank there. Her husband sits on the board of directors, and she heard, I think, two or three dozen cases involving this bank. I mean, various things like foreclosures, that kind of stuff. And so there have been questions raised that was appropriate for her to hear those cases. A couple people who have been involved in those cases who lost against the bank have said they were going to plan to file complaints with the state over that. We've not heard yet if any of them have. And Linda Clifford and some of these liberal-leaning groups are trying to make this an issue to say that she's not fit for the bench, essentially.
Yeah, and she is saying, I didn't gain financially from these cases, so therefore I did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about another issue in the news involving candidate Ziegler and cases she heard where she owned stock in companies after this weather break. We are talking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. He moderated a debate on Friday night between the two candidates running for state Supreme Court, Linda Clifford, a Madison attorney who we will be hearing from after 7:30, and the other candidate, Washington County Judge Annette Ziegler, who declined our invitation to participate in this program. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number if you have a question about the race for state Supreme Court Justice in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, March the 14th. We're talking about the race for state Supreme Court Justice in Wisconsin. The election is April 3rd, and the two candidates are Madison attorney Linda Clifford and Washington County Judge Annette Ziegler. We will be talking with Linda Clifford in just a few minutes. Right now, talking with J.R. Ross, who is with WisPolitics.com, and he's been following this race, moderated a debate between the candidates on Friday night. Did, J.R., this issue come up during that debate? I think the news actually broke after it, that an analysis by the Wisconsin State Journal finding Ziegler heard 22 cases involving companies in which she owned at least $50,000 worth of stock. What about that?
Well, this issue has kind of been trickling out for a couple weeks, actually. There's a progressive group that first put out some press releases, I think a couple weeks ago, kind of questioning Ziegler's involvement in some of these cases, pointing out investments that she listed on her statement of economic interest that was filed with the state. And then State Journal did one of the first stories about that. Then there have been more stories that have come out because she holds, like, I think it's more than $2.5 million worth of stocks, bonds, and other investments. So the state disclosure forms aren't very detailed. They just list a company, and if you own $5,000 to $50,000 in stock or more than $50,000. So you go through that, you kind of figure out what investment she has, and they did that and looked through the cases she's handled, and have pointed out a number of conflicts, including the West Bend Savings Bank, I believe, United Healthcare, and some other companies. So this has been kind of coming out for a while, and Clifford did bring this up Friday night. I'd asked a couple of questions about this topic, and Clifford questioned Ziegler about it. Ziegler again said she did nothing wrong. Ziegler also and other conservative groups have questioned Linda Clifford because her husband is a past president of the Trial Lawyers Association. Their point is, well, you have such strong connections to trial lawyers who oppose things like caps on medical malpractice lawsuit award, damage awards, and other liability issues, how can you sit on a case involving that when your husband could benefit financially from a lifting of any caps on those damages? Linda said that's absurd to try and connect her to her husband that way, and has dismissed that kind of question as being realistic.
Yeah, in fact, I have that exchange. Let me just play some short clips from that first Washington County judge, Annette Ziegler, questioning Linda Clifford's husband's profession, I guess.
Let's discuss Attorney Clifford's husband and how she would ever sit on a lead paint case or a punitive damages case or a case involving expert testimony or medical malpractice caps. How could you do that when that can directly affect the income that comes into your home?
I have worked hard to separate my career from my husband's, and what he has practiced in his profession has nothing to do with my profession. And the notion that a simple legal principle that may come before the court requires recusal because he's practiced in that arena is a desperate attempt to confuse.
The desperate attempt to confuse was because Ziegler is saying, bringing this up in, response to her cases where she sat on these cases where her husband was on the board of directors of this West Bend Bank?
Yes.
Yeah. Larry in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. A few minutes ago, one of you said that Judge Ziegler had sat on cases in which she had an alleged conflict of interest. However, Supreme Court rules state that judges have a conflict of interest in cases in which a spouse is a director of a party to the case. So she definitely has sat on cases, which means that she had a conflict of interest. Thank you.
All right. Anything on that? I said the alleged conflict of interest, but J.R. Ross?
Oh, I try to hold off on saying it's definitely a conflict until some governmental body says it is. I mean, it's it's not my personal judgment. It's one a judicial oversight body would have to say, yes, there's a conflict. Right now it's just an allegation. But, I mean, I think the rules are fairly clear to some people that there was definitely a problem for Annette Ziegler, but she also insists there wasn't a problem. So
yeah, and didn't I see some reaction from various judges saying, Judge Ziegler did was no problem, that there was not a huge outcry from, I don't know, people certain judges?
Yeah, there was a story, I think, in one of the Madison papers in the Capital Times earlier this week saying essentially that some of the judges who have endorsed Annette for the race say, well, I probably would have done it differently, but I don't think what she did was wrong. Still, there's a better way to handle it, essentially, what they were kind of saying.
Thanks, Larry. Randall in Ripon is with us. Hi, Randall.
Good morning. I guess Judge Ziegler's response to these conflict of interest has been that she didn't profit from it or, I guess, gain in any way. But the question I've been wondering, and I haven't been hearing asked anyways at this point, is do any of the clients that were in part of the cases she presided over, did any of those folks, would they have profited or something from her personal bias? I mean, we're all biased. I know I am, and if you're honest with yourself, I mean, there's probably not a soul on this earth that isn't biased. But so I just, what I'm wondering. I'd like to know if any of these cases, came out ahead for her, involvement or, being married to her husband and so forth with the bank and so forth.
So you want to know if the people, and J.R. Russ, some of these people who were, I guess, being sued by the bank are wondering if they got a fair shake, right?
Yeah, there have been several people who have complained that they didn't know that of the ties that Ziegler's family had to the bank before they went before her. They thought she should have disclosed that. We also talked yesterday to the West Bend Savings Bank to ask them their thoughts. They think they were treated fairly. But there have been a couple of people, at least two that we've talked to with politics, that have said they plan to file a complaint with the state over Annette's handling of the case. But like I said, we haven't heard for sure if they filed those yet.
Let me ask you about another story I saw in the Cap Times yesterday, that state Supreme Court candidate Linda Clifford was scheduled to speak last night, I guess, at a fundraiser sponsored by a group that used its financial muscle this fall to help Democrats regain control of the state Senate. So this is, I guess, adds more politics to this court race.
Yeah. If you look at the people who are donating money to Linda Clifford and Annette Ziegler, I mean, it almost reads like a Democratic and Republican roll call. You know, if you look at Annette's backing, I mean, for example, the Club for Growth Wisconsin has run ads for Annette Ziegler. That's a conservative group. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce has started doing an ad for Annette Ziegler. They've traditionally backed Republicans. On the left, you have a number of labor groups that have given money, PAC contributions to Linda Clifford. They typically back Democrats. I mean, even the donors are, you typically see them on for Republican candidate and Democratic candidate, or they line up almost perfectly. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign did an analysis yesterday of their reports and basically showed that. Yeah. That it's very, even though the race is nonpartisan, it's almost like everybody in politics in Madison knows this is a partisan race.
Let me try to get in another call or two before we're done. Mark and Lafarge, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. This news about Republican and Democrat, liberal, conservative, this is not news. This is par for the course for Supreme Court justices, justice races that are supposed to be nonpartisan. But I have never personally had more of a visceral response to these campaigns than I have now. The excellent investigative journalism that was done by the Wisconsin State Journal that broke this story should be commended, this conflict of interest story. And what really rubbed me the wrong way is I also read in the Cap Times that candidate Ziegler accused her opponent of, quote, mudslinging or something like that, that this is somehow cooked up by her campaign. And since I read the original coverage in the State Journal, a series of articles, and in the Cap Times, I think that's not the case. And personally, we have a judge that owns over $50,000 worth of stock in numerous companies,
yeah,
and $100,000 stock in Walmart was reported. And then she's sitting on cases where people are, because of medical problems and losing their jobs or having their cars repossessed by banker.
Mark, we're almost out of time. Is there something that our guest can address that you want him to address?
Well, just the fact that this is a different kind of political controversy than we've seen in these Supreme Court justice races, where in the past we've talked about philosophies.
Right, now, right. And what about that? It is quite different, isn't it, J.R. Ross?
Well, it all plays together. I mean, it is a more partisan race than what we've seen before. It is a more intense race than what we've seen before. For the most part, Supreme Court races in the 7 years I've been back in Wisconsin have been, you know, former government official so-and-so backs me, you know, I've got this experience, I'm a nice person. I mean, that's kind of oversimplifying things, but for the most part, they've been kind of who endorses you. You don't let out a whole lot about what you believe for various reasons, including some rules that the state has. But this one, there's some more partisan overtones because the groups are getting actively involved that are running ads. The stakes are higher than they've been before, and that also has helped play into this race. I mean, yeah, especially after the Supreme Court has been involved in a series of decisions over the last year and a half that have really irritated some people in the business community. That's really gotten them very active in this race, even more so than they have before. So that's really raised the stakes, and everybody's more intense about this than they have been the last couple
of years. We'll leave it there for now. J.R. Ross, thanks a lot for being with us.
Anytime.
J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. Coming up after news from National and Wisconsin Public Radio, we will welcome in candidate Linda Clifford. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Wednesday, March the 14th. Happy to have you with us, and we now welcome your questions for Linda Clifford. She is a Madison attorney and is running for State Supreme Court Justice. She faces Washington County Judge Annette Ziegler in the April 3rd election. Candidate Ziegler's campaign declined our invitation to participate in a candidate forum on this program this week. But you can ask Linda Clifford a question at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. And we are happy to have with us Linda Clifford, a Madison attorney and candidate for Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Ms. Clifford, are you satisfied with your opponent's answer to the question about why she didn't step down in these cases that involved the West Bend Bank, where her husband is on the board of directors?
No, I'm not satisfied, and neither are a number of other individuals who've heard her speak on this issue and heard her try to skirt the issue and justify her behavior based on some notion of her gut check.
Yeah, she said that she uses a gut check, and she also said this on Friday night, and let me have you respond to this.
I was elected to serve the people of Washington County as a judge, and that's exactly what I do. I don't think it's my job to try to find a way to get out of cases, and if anything, I err on the side of doing work, not trying to get out of it. I have been fair and have no possibility of financial gain in any of the cases. I'm welcome and encourage any objective review of those cases. In fact, it'd be a welcome review instead of the investigator that has come from Attorney Clifford's campaign.
Linda Clifford?
Yeah, a couple of things in those remarks. It's almost laughable to suggest that complying with the Code of Judicial Conduct is a way to get out of cases. There is a Code of Judicial Conduct applicable here to protect parties and assure that the judge that hears their case is fair and impartial. That's not a way to get out of cases, and using that as an excuse not to recuse is really quite inappropriate. Also, I'm kind of surprised to find that anyone would object to the public reviewing a judicial record based upon a review of the public record. This candidate, Judge Ziegler, is running on the notion that she is a judge, and since these revelations have come out, she's welcomed a review of her cases to assure that they were fairly handled, and that does require looking at the record. I think both candidates have had their records subjected to scrutiny. I know I have, and it's not at all inappropriate for researchers to take a look at her public record, which now we find is deficient.
Yeah. Is it appropriate for her to bring up the fact that your husband's a trial lawyer and maybe you would have to recuse yourself from a bunch of certain cases that come before the state Supreme Court?
This is another really obvious attempt to confuse the issues. And it's troubling because it also reflects a lack of understanding of what's at stake here. Unlike my opponent, I do understand the rules of recusal, and if my husband were before the Supreme Court or had a case in front of the court brought by his law firm, or if my law firm had a case before the court that was subject to the rules of disqualification or recusal, I would recuse myself. But it's absurd to suggest something in the future that is speculated, has no fact, no basis in fact now, would suggest that I need to recuse myself. But if the circumstances required recusal, I would follow the rules and do that. But it suggests that she's mixing up her past with the potential future. She has already violated the Code of Judicial Conduct, and she needs to look at her conduct and not speculate about my obligations in the future.
We have lots of callers, and this email, let me just share this email first. Portia in Milwaukee, could you please ask Linda Clifford why we are being bombarded by Ziegler ads here in Milwaukee but have not seen any of her? I am concerned many people will vote for Ziegler because they are more familiar with her TV ads. Are you not running any advertising?
We will be running our advertising this week, and we are concerned that so much money has been contributed to Judge Ziegler's campaign from outside special interest groups that she is able to afford a bombardment of ads consistently. And I think, to some extent, voters are getting tired of hearing her ads because they don't really reveal or discuss her record or explain for her deficiencies in complying with the Code of Judicial Ethics. But our ads will be running soon, and they will explain, my qualifications, why I'm the better candidate, and address Judge Ziegler's situation, too.
Yeah. You want to talk about whether too much politics is getting into this race, in part from your own appearance at a fundraiser, I think last night, by two pro-Democratic groups?
Well, I think it's not a correct characterization to call them pro-democratic groups. They're nonpartisan,
yeah,
and
I guess,
support nonpartisan candidates, and I am a nonpartisan candidate. I'm not running on any party platform or advancing any party ideology. And so I'm grateful for support from groups that that promote my values and my qualifications and credentials for the court, and who are concerned, frankly, about the nature of the special interest groups supporting my opponent.
Yeah, the Capital Times article says that the money raised at the Milwaukee event last night by Progressive Majority Wisconsin and Women's Choice, a Milwaukee-based group that helps elect pro-choice Democratic women to office, will be funneled to your campaign.
Well, that may be the case, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We will go to the phones. Chet in West Dallas. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Getting to the notion of advertising that we've been seeing, Ziegler's theme ads have been running a theme of tough on crime, and I'm wondering if there's any kind of a connection between that theme and what is actually done by a justice in the Supreme Court.
That's a very good question. I think it's real clear when voters understand what the Supreme Court does that Judge Ziegler is running for the wrong job. She appears to be running on a tough-on-crime theme that is appropriate for perhaps a prosecutorial job or maybe a local judge job. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court does not hand down sentences. It does not try criminal cases, and so her toughness or leniency on crime really has nothing to do with the qualifications for this position, the kinds of skill set required to be a good Supreme Court justice. And the voters need to see that and understand that whatever experience she has had in the past doesn't really translate to the job of being a Supreme Court justice.
I want you, Linda Clifford, to respond to anything you wish in this ad that your opponent is running.
It's the highest court, and only one person has the experience to serve as Supreme Court Justice from day one. Judge Annette Ziegler, Assistant U.S. Attorney, Special Assistant District Attorney, Senior Judge. Judge Annette Ziegler has dedicated her life to protecting our families. Annette Ziegler is the only judge and only criminal prosecutor running for Supreme Court. She's endorsed by law enforcement, including a majority of Wisconsin's district attorneys and sheriffs. Experience, independence, and integrity. Judge Annette Ziegler for Supreme Court.
Yeah, so react to that in any way you wish.
Well, I think I just spoke to the lack of connection between that theme and the qualifications that are required for this position. And the fact that she once prosecuted criminal cases as a junior attorney in the U.S. Attorney's Office 12 years ago or whenever it was really has no bearing on the intellectual and professional credentials and requirements that a Supreme Court justice applies to reading, analyzing the law, understanding the history of the law, and interpreting very complex situations and looking at the problems in front of the court from a very high-level view, from a 10,000-foot view, resolving problems on a statewide basis that are usually not related at all to criminal law.
Yeah. Should voters be at all concerned that you are an attorney and have not been a judge before, whereas your opponent has experience on the bench?
Well, that's also kind of a misunderstanding that I think she's trying to promote. There is no prerequisite to being a judge before being a justice, and I am the candidate with the most experience, the most depth and breadth in legal experience of either of the candidates. And historically, Wisconsin Supreme Court justices come largely from outside the court system. At least half the justices, or almost half the justices, had no prior judicial experience, and that includes our current Chief Justice, Shirley Abrahamson. And it includes our prior Chief Justices, Roland Day and Nathan Heffernan. The whole point of my election is to diversify the professional experience on the court so that the seven justices each bring something unique to the problem solving they have to do. And what's missing from the court right now is an experienced practitioner, the point of view of somebody who has practiced law in a variety of areas, representing real people and real businesses and solving real problems, who has been in the trenches and can at least express the point of view of a practitioner understanding the complexities and difficulties of litigation.
We will check our weather forecast, and then I promise all callers for Linda Clifford, Madison attorney and candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, I'll talk with a guest about all the controversy swirling around Alberto Gonzalez at this time. Some top congressional Democrats are calling for him to step down over the firing of some U.S. attorneys and other issues. We will talk about them after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Linda Clifford. She is a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. The election day is April 3rd. She faces Washington County Judge Annette Ziegler in this race to replace the retiring John Wilcox. Don and Aaron is our next caller. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to ask the candidate Clifford's campaign, or how her campaign is going to overcome the label that's been attached to her as being a liberal attorney who's not a judge from Madison.
Well, that's a label that I have never used for myself, and my record as an attorney actually is quite balanced. I do have a distinguished record that has earned me honors, such as Leader in the Law and Best Lawyers in America, and I've worked on more than 30 appellate cases in state and federal courts, including our Supreme Court, unlike my opponent, who's never appeared there. And my record as an attorney is inclusive. I represent big businesses and small businesses in a variety of different practice areas, and so my professional experience is certainly not cast with a liberal label. And I think when voters understand my record, my service at the Attorney General's office, enforcing the state's laws statewide, I think they'll understand that my professional experience doesn't really deserve any kind of political label, and it certainly won't reflect a political label on the court.
Thank you, Don. Jessica in Marshall. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you, first of all, Linda, for being available to us to answer our questions.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to address the issue of mudslinging, and isn't it true that the research that has gone into figuring out the mudslinging the issues has cost thousands of dollars, not only in hiring the researchers, but in just the fees for collecting the papers that tell you all this dirt about other candidates? And I guess there was a caller on earlier who said that he wanted to commend the newspapers for finding this information, but isn't it the truth that politics are about spending all these dollars just to dig up dirt about people?
Yeah, and Jessica, you're saying that that Linda Clifford's campaign spent a lot of money to dig up dirt on her opponent? Is that what you're saying?
I guess yes, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Is that what happened, Linda Clifford?
I really find it shocking to suggest that reviewing the public record of a public official who is paid by tax dollars is digging up dirt. I think that any public official who runs on her record as a judge or any other public office should be scrutinized by the public. The public needs to understand each of the candidates' records, and that deserves a thorough discussion of qualifications and performance in office. I just find it astonishing that a study of a public record is considered mudslinging, and I commend the newspapers for looking at both of our records and discussing it and continuing the debate in the public arena.
Yeah. In the news this week, it was a recent analysis by the Wisconsin State Journal found that Annette Ziegler, your opponent, heard 22 cases involving companies in which she owned at least $50,000 worth of stock. You want to comment on that?
Well, that is another category of conflict of interest that judges need to be sensitive to. and apparently didn't reach Judge Ziegler's radar screen throughout her judicial career, which needs to be addressed and explored by herself. I hope that she corrects her practices in her court and where she should be guided by ethical opinions that have been issued in the past about how to evaluate stock ownership in terms of defining one's conflict of interest. And I think, again, she's fallen short and betrayed her obligation to maintain not only her own impartiality but the appearance of impartiality so that those who appear in front of her can be confident that they will be getting a fair shake in her courtroom.
Yeah. So you certainly, as a campaign, have every right to look over the record of your opponent. Is the other campaign charging that your campaign is feeding the Wisconsin State Journal this information?
I don't know what they're charging. Mm. I really don't. And I do know that my record has been investigated too, and it's kind of naive to suggest that candidates don't explore the obvious public records that are available to anybody to look at. And there really is very little charge in terms of asking for public records.
Yeah. Jerry in Neillsville is with us now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm sure you already know this, but when a judge misbehaves in any way, such as what you've been stating that she has in some of the cases that she's dealt with, usually there that would be grounds for an appeal, correct?
Well, if the appeal, no, not necessarily.
Well, here's my question.
There would be different grounds for the appeal, but this kind of behavior triggers other kinds of actions.
Okay, but an appeal process is in place. So if I think my judge judged my case because of her bias, then I have if I can prove that, then I have an appeal that I can appeal it. And here's my question to you: out of those cases that you've stated relative to her husband, which ones of those cases have been either appealed and or overturned?
The appeal time is now run on most of these cases. The problem with her conduct is that none of the parties knew of her conflict of interest until now. And her failure to disclose and let them exercise their rights to recuse or allow her to continue on the case were just overlooked and ignored. And so they would have not known the facts upon which they could take an appeal or file a complaint about her conduct, which is another avenue that could be taken. So the victims here, the victims are these parties who fail to receive their rights under the Code of Judicial Conduct. The victim is not Judge Ziegler, who is now claiming that she's being picked on because of her public record.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Attorney Clifford, these parties were people who were apparently being sued by the West Bend Bank for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they did not know that the husband of Judge Ziegler was on the board of directors of this bank until these news reports surfaced.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And the fact that her husband was on the board, by definition, under the Code of Judicial Conduct, creates a conflict of interest. There's no gray area. It, by definition, creates a conflict of interest. Requiring recusal or disclosure and waiver by the parties, and neither one of those options occurred, and that categorically suggests a violation.
Yeah. We could go to Bobby in Sun Prairie. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good morning, Bob.
I had a quick comment and question. You know, I mean, we were talking about Alberto Gonzalez a little earlier. I mean, this was a guy who business interests pushed through to get on the Supreme Court in Texas, and then, well, we see what he's doing now. My question is, what can we do to reduce the influence of outside interests, big business, et cetera, any on either side of the spectrum, to make sure that these campaigns are run by the candidates who are running for office?
The Brennan Center for Social Justice recently published a report criticizing Wisconsin's campaign finance laws as archaic and inadequate in addressing the kinds of issues that you're raising. And I would hope that the legislature would start to look at improving campaign finance laws and addressing some of the issues that you've addressed. It can't happen soon enough for this election, I'm afraid, but it is time to review the limitations on public financing and to address the influence of outside groups.
Linda Clifford, thank you so much. We will see you on Friday, March the 30th for the We the People Wisconsin debate. Thanks a lot.
I look forward to it. Thanks,
yes.
Joy.
On Friday, March 30th, We the People Wisconsin will be airing a live statewide debate between the two state Supreme Court justice candidates. This debate will take place in the studios of Wisconsin Public Television. And there will be citizens who have already been selected to ask the questions, but there are spots in the viewing audience. If you would like to be a member of the viewing audience, you need to register. Please call 1-800-492-7505. That's 1-800-492-7505 to register to be a member of the studio audience for the We the People Wisconsin State Supreme Court candidate debate on Friday, March the 30th at 7 p.m. That's when the debate will be broadcast live from 7 to 8 p.m. on Friday, March the 30th, and you can hear it here on the Ideas Network and watch it on Wisconsin Public Television. Thanks very much to Rita Thomas for producing this hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.